seasons. So we've had this service from the harvest of fall to the waiting of winter to the renewal of spring. And here we pause for a bit of meditation on God's word. Because waiting for the renewal is where we find ourselves in the course of human history. The renewer, Jesus Christ, has come once. He is also yet to come his second time. And while he started the renewal long since, we are still waiting for the completion of that renewal. And so our season as a human race and as a universe is an in-between season. It is an aching season in a broken world. It is a season of yearning for what will yet be, what God has promised. Here's how Paul speaks of it in the book of Romans. You're welcome to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. On page 1757, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 28. Here's what's written about the time that we find ourselves in. Still here a few pages. There we go. Everybody got it? Romans chapter 8, 18 through 28. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as children, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that's seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, that is, all of God's people, in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. An in-between season, a time of what has been done in Christ, and yet there's a lot more to come, and we need it to come. We need Jesus' redemption to be complete. It made me think of an old phrase, the knothole gang. It's a little bit old-fashioned, but I'll give you the idea through this Norman Rockwell design. It once graced the cover of the Saturday Evening Post. Maybe some of you remember that weekly magazine. Norman Rockwell, sort of the painter of Americana, classic scenes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he painted this one called The Knothole Gang. You can see the wood there as if it's a fence, but just through the fence, the knot has fallen out of the wood, and there's a little hole there. You can see, baseball's going on the other side of that fence. And so a knothole gang would be a group, presumably of kids or maybe just cheapskates who didn't want to pay the ticket. But they'd crowd around this hole on the outside of the fence in a stadium and look through just to catch a snatch of a little bit of baseball. Okay, who's playing third? Well, you got to stand at the right angle. Who's playing first? You got to stand at a different angle. It was certainly a lot different than being, say, in the stadium having paid a ticket. But this way you could get a little bit of free baseball through the knothole. And it worked just fine for people who couldn't afford the tickets or didn't want to buy the tickets, the knothole gang. The way that creation is described in Romans here is kind of like a knothole gang. All creation waits for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. It's like in the season of waiting, what's really going on in human history, what's really going on in this universe is sort of known, but sometimes it's hard to see. And creation itself has put its eye up to that little knot hole and is looking to see, wait a minute, I think I see glory over there. Wait, sure enough, there's a son of God. There is a daughter of the Most High. All creation waits in eager expectation in this season. The buds are there, but they haven't bloomed yet. Maybe you didn't know you were being watched that much, for those of you who would claim to be in the stadium. Maybe you didn't know that you're well worth the price of admission. All creation waits. The whole universe is watching you who belong to Christ. Some of you might still be in the stands, but the truth is that if you're a son or daughter of the King, you're playing the game. You're not just watching history play out. You're a participant in it. You're an actor in the great battle between good and evil. You have a role to play, and all creation is watching. Maybe some of you still think you're at the knothole gang, just catching glimpses of what could be. Glimpses, just ideas of what this Jesus thing is all about. I'll talk more about that in a minute. In the meantime, just keep watching. Keep watching. All creation strains to see just a little bit more. And ultimately, it really wants to see what will happen in verse 21 when Christ comes again, when the renewal that has begun is made complete. In baseball, you may be familiar with the ends of games. Or if you watched the recent torturous Game 7 a few weeks ago, as I did, till whatever hour it's going to take. And I Skyped with my brother, a lifelong Cubs fan, who was in Michigan, and I was in Dallas, actually. That was the same day as I was in Dallas for a ministry conference. But we were Skyping and watching every gut-wrenching reaction to every pitch. And you get to the end of a game, and you think, okay, here comes the closer, the guy who's supposed to be the last pitcher. He should finish this off. Well, in that particular game, that's not quite what happened. But in the story of human history, we are waiting for our closer to come in. And the other side knows that when Jesus Christ returns, the game is as good as over. It's as good as done. And we'll still be out there playing in a certain way, but the game is over. That's what we want to see. We wait for it with all of creation that's peeping through the knothole of history, and we say, yes, our time is coming. The closer's coming in. We'll get there. We'll get to that time when we can be freed from our sins fully, from those nagging flaws that eat at us. No, those will go away. We'll be free from our brokenness of body or mind. We'll be free from this broken world that challenges our faith with its headlines and its disasters. We'll have the freedom of the children of God because we're going to know that we're going to win. We know it now, but then we'll see it. And most of all, of course, God will be with us, which is what he's always wanted. The passage describes it in another way too, that of a pregnancy, of birth pains. Maybe you've had the privilege of really anticipating a birth, maybe even recently. Well, the first few months, it's all kind of quiet, right? You're not sure how sure it is. Those middle months, though, well, you start to make preparations. You decorate the room. You have showers. You get more burp cloths than you could possibly use, you think. And then you need all of them and probably twice that, right? And then you get to month 9, and you get asked about, if you're a woman, if you get asked like 12 times a day, so, and you're like, hello, no baby yet, chill, right? Because it's month 9. The new life is inevitable. It's coming. It's unavoidable. It will happen, but you still have to wait. All creation is there. The coming of Christ, the redemption of all things, this is inevitable. It's right there. And we keep asking, Lord, how long? Lord, is it now? What about now? Will you do it? Will you do it? He says, wait, not yet, not yet. But you can keep asking. Oh, you can keep asking. The new life of the kingdom of God has to come. It has to come. And it will overturn the isms of this age. It will defeat this disorders. It will defeat syndromes. It will defeat dictators and nuclear threats. It will defeat disease itself, crises, and death. It will mean an end to sin and rebellion. That will be the turn of the seasons, the turn of history, from the winter of sin into the aching buds of spring now, and yes, creation, and we stand ready to burst out with the fullness and the warmth of summertime. So are you watching? Are you watching at that knothole? Are you sitting in the stands? Are you playing the game? How close are you to the action of history? How hopeful are you? These things are not merely a wish. They're not merely a desire, not merely a want. It is the hope of, is it now, Lord? Is it now? Is it time yet? Because God has promised it, and he will do it. The seasons will change to his time, one day at a time, but it will happen. We watch for it eagerly, to his glory. Amen. So Joyce, I invite you to give us a glimpse, a little bit more, of the next season, a season of the abundance of God's glory, from Psalm 104.
How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Please stand and join us in singing Shout to the Lord.